We'll go ahead and take the roll call, and then hopefully Ken will be here.
Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee Gillis.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Johnson. Trustee O'Connell.
Here.
President Adusi.
I'm here. Okay, if I can ask everyone to stand to say the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Pledge allegiance, to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Okay, Megan, maybe you want to speak? Thank you.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Megan Cascatello. My pronouns are she, her. I'm a River Forest resident and a parent of two kids in District 90. I'm also the organizer of the D90 Inclusion and Pride Walk and a member of the River Forest Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Working Group. Thank you for hearing me tonight. Last year, the Human Rights Campaign declared a national state of emergency for queer individuals. And already this year, 515 anti-LGBTQ bills have been introduced into state legislatures across the country, including six here in Illinois. We've seen the erosion of other civil rights and human rights over the past 12 months as well, impacting many families and communities who all just want a place to belong and live in safety and freedom. I love River Forest so, so much. And what I love the most about it is our willingness to stand up and say that everyone belongs here. You matter, your voice, your family, your needs. We care here. We care for our environment. We care for our seniors. We care for our kids. I'm continually awed by the support my family and the queer community have received from our community, from our schools, from our township, from our village, from our police and fire departments. One of my greatest joys is working together with you to say, yes, you are welcome here to all of our vibrant and varied families. I encourage you to vote yes to raising the Pride flag, the Juneteenth flag, and joyously and proudly proclaiming that yes, here in River Forest, we all belong, we are all welcome, and we are home. So thank you, and please consider joining us on June 3rd at 6 p.m. as we raise the flag and walk together for belongingness and inclusion.
Thank you. Thank you, Meg. Very good. Okay, that's all we have on the public testimony for now, so I don't think we have any Zoom. So I'll ask then the if we can have elected officials comments, announcements. So if we can maybe
get a motion to bring in Trustee Johnson.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Just acknowledge.
You just can acknowledge him at what time he was. I don't know if we want to do that.
Yeah.
No, yeah, you should just say he came in at 7:02 or something. Okay, pretty good. Welcome.
Thank you.
So it's all good. All right, yes. So elected officials and comments announcements. So, Bob, you've been sitting there, so I don't know. Why don't we start with you?
Thanks. Appreciate it. Good evening, everyone. I just have a couple things. First off, I think we're all excited about our Memorial Day parade coming up. Thanks to the Kiwanis Club, Park District, and the village staff who, you know, they'll be working really hard on Memorial Day. My computer, again, is acting up. And then I've just noticed, you know, there's been a lot of barricades up and a lot of stripes in the streets and stuff, and construction season is upon us. So please be careful as you're driving through the streets over the next few weeks. I know they're doing a lot of curb work and sidewalk work. So congratulations to the Public Works Department on getting that going. Hopefully it'll go smoothly. And then lastly, I'd like to cede a little bit of my time to Matt. So Matt can give us in the public just a quick overview on the process for how we create our agendas and how items get on our agendas. So if that's okay.
Now?
Sure. Thanks, Trustee O'Connell. There's a few different ways that agenda items could be entered to the agenda. Typically, a trustee will have an item of interest or a commission will have something that they want to bring forward as a recommendation to the village board. In consultation between myself and the village president, we'll try and align that schedule for a village board meeting. Many times there's a recommendation that comes from one of the advisory committees that comes kind of closely scheduled to a village board meeting. And we typically try to avoid a quick turnaround on when those items would be turned back around to the village board meeting to allow for a more time to evaluate what the recommendation is and also to provide any notice that might be required.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay.
I just have one announcement. Just a reminder that the hazardous waste home collection is in effect and you have to sign up by May 31st in order to be included. So please note that. Also, I echo and support the live member as and her lovely comments. Glad to have her here.
Kitty, thanks. Just a couple comments. In our consent agenda, we've got the Juneteenth flag raising resolution as well, which reminds me that this is our last village board meeting before our flag raising, our Juneteenth flag raising, because the flag raising is the morning of our next meeting. So it's my last chance to give another push to publicize the flag raising and to encourage all of you to attend at 11 a.m. at the public library as it has been held for the last 2 years. And it's going to be a wonderful event again. Just today, we finished the flyer for it. Send it to Matt so he's ready to send out the invitations to the VIPs. So thank you for that, Matt. And just echoing again, Megan, thanks for showing up here and showing up in so many ways that you do in the community. I can't make it. I'll be going to be out of town on the 3rd, but I'll be with you in spirit. Thanks.
Nothing
to add. Okay. Good evening, everyone. I also echo all the comments and wishes from my fellow trustees, but I do have to give a shout out for our Older Americans Month and their proclamation and resolution for today. I just feel I got to speak out for them, so I will.
Thank
Go
you.
Ahead.
Thank you.
I'm old. I think you guys have all covered it. So, oh, I do have one thing. Congrats to all of the graduates. I think we've already seen the college graduates. I think that'll be, you know, middle school and high school. So, you know, a shout out to everybody and best of luck.
I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on lands that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. And we will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. I wanted to give a belated happy Mother's Day to everyone. And I've been seeing for the past couple of years a very striking and I think important way to celebrate mothers. And I just wanted to reiterate that at the table today. So it goes something like this. We're thinking of you today on Mother's Day to all the mothers, to the first time mothers, to the soon to be mothers, for those who are doing it alone, and those who stand in as moms, for the bonus moms and the stepmoms, for those who are mourning a mother, and for those mothers who are mourning a child, for those chosen mothers, the mothers who adopt, who foster, and who surrogate, and those who are longing to be mothers, those who wanted to but are unable to be mothers, those who don't know their mothers, those with complicated mother-child relationships, and every grandmother, every caretaker, incarcerated mothers, teachers who love their students as kids, and of course, mothers of fur babies. So to the mothers out there, happy belated Mother's Day. Very happy to be able to bring up the Pride Walk again. This could be on June 3rd. We'll start here at the flagpole here at the Village Town Hall with a flag raising, hopefully, and then have a Pride and Inclusion Walk around the block of Lincoln School. So looking very much forward to that. Thank you, Megan Cascatalo, to all your help with that, to the Lincoln School, John Beckbar will be speaking that day, who just took over as supervisor of the village township. And I plan to be making some comments as well. So again, thank you to all of those who are working on this and to the village staff. I also want to promote the Juneteenth flag raising at the Village Library, and want to give a shout out and congratulations to the grandmother of Juneteenth, who was honored with the Presidential Medal of Freedom, Dr. Opal Lee, the activist and social worker and educator who made national headlines for her decades-long advocacy to make Juneteenth a federal holiday. I want to say that also I've been attending a couple of sessions over at the OPRF High School, and those are in relation to making sure that multicultural ideas in the families are being taken into consideration into the school and their policies, and that the school is being culturally appropriate. They had a set of focused discussions with parents, people in the community, and then from there, they took all of that data and created a World Cafe where we got to see all the data put together, what themes came out of that. And as well, we had music from the high schoolers, art from the high schoolers, and updates around what the school is planning on doing. And they will be taking the data that collected from that session, because we got together in small groups as well to answer some questions about what was our vision for the high school, what would it look like for the high school to represent multiculturally those who are present, and what is working and what could be improved. So very happy to be a part of that. And also wanted to let everyone know that I will be hosting and moderating for Opalga Plus, so the Oak Park, I always have to, Association of Lesbian and Gays Association Plus, and we'll be moderating discussion with Task Force Prevention and Community Services, a organization in the Austin area who started in the 30s as a way to help those with HIV or those who needed medications, and give them wraparound services. And today they take care of the queer, LGBTQ plus, and trans youth, still providing those services. The session is called Voguing to Save Lives in the Austin Community, because one of the things that they are really known for is twice a week offering Vogue classes to get kids off the streets and create a sense of community for them. So we will be talking about all the good services that they do, and then those youth clients will be putting on a Vogue session. So that's going to be over at the Oak Park Library on May 16th, this Thursday, starting at 7 o'clock. So I hope everybody can attend. And then, Matt, I just wanted to ask about Lemoyne and Greenfield, and when those, whatever we're calling them, not pork chops, are going.
Sure. Thanks, Trustee Bachner. In fact, today I was having a conversation with Public Works Director Belak about IDOT's review of that project. We did get some comments that we need to revise the designs, but we expect to turn that around within the next day. We have a call with our engineering consultant Christopher Burke to help us with that and turn it back around to IDOT to get approval, because it's along Harlem. That's an IDOT right of way. It requires permitting process before we can do a permanent construction of that work.
Just out of curiosity, what was the change that they were looking at?
We're concerned that the radius for turning onto Harlem isn't wide enough. So we'll make sure that we align with their standards.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Great. Okay. Yeah. Thanks. And yes, I just want to say how proud I am of our village and our community, our village board, our village staff, and everybody that contributes to these discussions. It's like you, I'm very pleased and happy and proud to be a River Forest resident. So I too cannot be on June 3rd, but I'm with you guys. Just that I have a major conflict on that day, but I will be at the Juneteenth flag raising. So I wish you guys good luck, and I hope you have a good day. I also want to say congratulations to the graduates. It is a big year, so congratulations. And then last, I'm just saying, call out. I am hosting a meet and greet with the village president on the 18th at the community center. And I decided I'd like to do that just to try to make, not that I am not available, I'm mostly available to our community, but try to make it a little bit more, set a date certain, or maybe if people have questions, concerns, comments, ideas, I always like ideas, solutions, I want to be available to hear our community out as well. So anybody's welcome, even the village board, if you want to come June 18th, starting at 9 to 10:30 at the community center. So thanks for that. That's all I have. So we'll go ahead on to the consent agenda. So if I can get a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda from A through N.
Motion to approve consent agenda items A through N.
Second.
Okay. Any comments, questions on any of these items? Hearing none, I'd ask John to please read through the items and then take the vote.
Consent agenda item A, Village Board of Trustees meeting minutes, April 29th, 2024. B, Village Board of Trustees executive session meeting minutes, April 29th, 2024. April 2024 accounts payable and payroll, $2,183,542.78. D, administration department report. E, monthly department reports. F, change order, 2023 water main improvement project resolution. G, authorizing an amendment to water and sewer rates ordinance. H, contract approval, Lexipol LLC annual police policy and procedure subscription, $54,917. I, emergency medical services week proclamation. J, National Public Works Week proclamation. K, Arbor Day proclamation. L, Older Americans Month flag raising resolution. M, Pride flag raising resolution. N, Juneteenth flag raising resolution. Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Super duper. All right. Thank you very much. And let's go on to item eight, which is the unfinished business. If I can get a motion and a second to go through this contract approval.
I move to approve a contract with Nexamp Solar LLC and authorize the village administrator to execute the contract agreement.
Second.
Okay, so I know at last meeting, Trustee Brennan had some questions that she wanted us to address. So, do you want to have Seth take the? We'll go through a little bit about what the contract is, and I know we have a representative on the
line. There should be one or two representatives from Satori Energy, the village's energy consultant, and I believe there may be somebody from Nexamp on as well to help facilitate any questions. I tried to. Answer is most of the questions outlined at the last meeting as best I could in the memo.
Yep.
I understand community solar is a pretty complicated thing. We offer it to residents, and there's been very little participation because of it can be confusing, but it does result in net savings. In short, the village is a subscriber as an anchor tenant to this new solar farm development in which a portion of the solar facility is fully credited to us on our bill. Working with Nexamp, we then pay them 90% of that credit. So they don't receive anything until it comes through us first. We get that 10% savings from the energy generated. The amount of the generation as well as the amount that is then billed to customers is set by the Illinois Commerce Commission, the ICC rate. So it's really just the percentages. If there's more production, like in the summer months where there's more sunlight, there will be greater production from our share of the farm going out to the grid, resulting in a higher dollar amount savings for us. I know there were some specific questions. Is there anything I can help address? I know, Trustee Brennan, you had asked one question about if the production exceeds the consumption. So they typically undersize, they look at people's usage to make sure that it doesn't exceed. There are instances in summer months where a individual's ComEd bill does get down to zero. If there are any additional credits earned through that, that would carry over into the next month. So while we would be paying a potentially higher portion of our credit to NexAmp that month, we would get a bigger credit saved the following month. So our credit would carry over, but we would not have to carry over the payment. If that, I know it's very confusing. I think Tyler, I saw Tyler was on. If feel free to jump in if I am misconstruing this.
Well, I just wanted to maybe go over the discussion that you and Matt and I had today on the phone. Because first of all, thank you very much for the much more detailed memo. I thought it was very helpful. It answered a lot of the questions that I had, and we had talked about at our last meeting. So it was very helpful. And then I did have a couple of questions from the memo that we talked about on the phone today. And you and Matt were going to have more discussion after that. So maybe just to give the background to others here, one of the questions that I had was, per the memo, it was unclear to me whether the River Forest was being billed for its usage and then paying only 90% of its actual electricity usage, or if we were being billed for 90% of all of the electricity generated by the array that is particularly attributed to River Forest at the solar farm. And I think the answer that you gave me is the latter.
That is correct.
And that is that regardless of our usage of the electricity, mm-hmm. we are going to be billed 90% of whatever is generated by the River Forest plat at that solar farm.
That is correct.
And then coming from that answer, I had a follow-up question for you today on the phone, and that was, so what happens if River Forest's usage is less, much or a little bit less or much less than whatever electricity is generated by our plat? And so we're still paying 90% of whatever is generated by the plat, but we don't need that much. So is that really a savings for us?
It is still a realized savings. And then those credits earned from that savings would then carry over into the next month's billing cycle. I believe Nathan from Satori is on. He had explained that to me. I had read that briefly before coming down to the meeting, so I believe I am describing that correctly.
Yes, you are, Seth.
And so I like that answer. That's good. I think that's good news. And can we continue to carry that over for months at a time? For example, in the summer months, maybe we develop a big backlog of additional, credits. Can we go take those over to the wintertime when we have less?
Yes. Nathan's exact response was until those credits are depleted. So I would note that because of the energy consumption, particularly from our pumping station, that may be unlikely. But yes, they would continue to carry over until they are fully depleted.
Okay. Thanks so much for that. And just the one other question, for everyone else's understanding, if they had the same questions that I did. The other question that I asked was, you had said that the rates are established and regulated by the ICC, the Illinois Commerce Commission.
That's correct.
And one of the concerns I had at the last meeting was, how do we know that this is really a savings? How do we know that these companies, Satori, is not charging us a higher rate than ComEd, so it may not really be a savings. And you clarified that for me too.
Yeah, and it's all outlined on the bills. You can see what the rates are. I've got actually a sample bill that they've provided me, so you can see the rates that are being credited and the rates that are being charged in any bill the village would receive. So I've got a just sample bill. If you guys want to take a look, I can pass it around.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. So it will actually be a savings because it's, we would be charged the same amount from ComEd. And we're getting a 10% savings each year of the 20 years.
So the ComEd bill is a 100% credit, like the full credit. And then of that credit received, 90% of that is then paid to NextAmp.
So Seth, maybe it's, since it looks like there's a presentation.
Oh, yep.
Maybe,
that's the.
But maybe the gentleman could go through a little bit. If he,
yeah. Nathan Tyler, if one of you guys wants to briefly walk through. So we've got the slideshow of the sample invoice up on the screen if you guys can't see.
Thank you for clarifying. Yeah, we can't quite see the screen, but I think I know exactly which slide you have up there. So
yeah, slide five, Nathan.
Thank you. So yeah, the crediting, so how it works is every month the solar panels are going to produce some amount of kilowatt hours, and the village is signing up to be an anchor on the project, which means they will take up to 40% of the kilowatt hours that are generated by the solar array that the village is subscribed to. And so the ComEd every month, they will measure those kilowatt hours and they will allocate those out across all of the accounts that they have subscribed. And so those are going to be obviously these village accounts, as well as some residents, some small businesses, et cetera. Those kilowatt hours are going to be credited on every subscriber's bill, as you see in the sample, at whatever ComEd's rate is for that particular month. And as Seth mentioned, that rate is regulated by the Illinois Commerce Commission. So it will change from month to month, but it will always be regulated by the ICC. And then whatever that credit dollar amount works out to, in this case, I believe it's $307.03 on the sample bill that you have in front of you, you will pay 90% of that value to NextAmp. And so in this particular case, that works out to $272.03. And so the difference, the $30, again, this is an example not reflective of the actual village accounts, that would be the net savings realized. So the 10% savings is guaranteed. The rate at which ComEd applies the credits is variable. That is not fixed, but the 10% piece is guaranteed within the contract that was reviewed by the village attorney.
Can you also tell us where this, since it's community solar, it should be local-ish. Can you tell us where this array is?
Yeah, for that, I might turn to Matt Dykeman with NextAmp, who I believe is also in the meeting. Matt, do you have an answer to that?
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me.
No, I don't think so, but I believe it was around the Rockford area when we talked last week.
Yeah, so the project that we have the village assigned to is, it's called Moni Solar. And it's in am I saying that right? Moni, Illinois?
Moni?
Yeah, Moni. Yeah, that's where it's being developed and being constructed. Yep.
Thank you.
Sure.
And so in the memo, it says that 56 River Forest households currently are subscribed to this. So would their bill look similar to this set?
Yeah, they are receiving the same net credit. When we first set up our residential community solar program, we had sent out a postcard to, I believe, every resident. I believe about 160 to 180 had signed up and had been sent offers, but only 56 plus an additional, I believe 16 were referred to a separate community solar subscriber, but only a handful have signed up. So we'd really like to also boost the residential participation in this. It only results in savings for their electricity bills.
Is this information that we can provide? Because I know like when we were doing composting, we would give the information to folks who are having block parties. Is this something like when we give them the horses that we can give them these packets too for those block parties? Or I can't remember exactly how that works, with the compost. That may have been through the sustainability.
It was when someone's having a block party, if they wanted to make it a green block party, they could request use of our zero waste stations that had landfill, recycling, and compost free of charge, and they'd be delivered with the horses blocking off the streets.
I remember getting, I don't want to say a hard sell, but being told about all the good works for composting too and signing up at a block party.
We used to have programming. Okay. Yeah, we used to have programming along with the green block parties, lots of different things that we offered, but my understanding is that no longer exists.
Hey, so Seth, can you help because our community also use MC squared. So
yes.
There's a bit of a confusion on how this works vis-a-vis the MC squared contract.
Are you talking about the residential community solar? Residential. Yeah. So there is information on the village website to go sign up for.
I think the actual about the electrical aggregation.
Oh, the aggregation program. Yeah. Yep. So yeah, that there are two contracts we've actually worked with Satori for both of these, both through MC squared, which is one of these electricity providers. They have community solar, which is this voluntary opt-in program. Yep. And then our village-wide community green aggregation program. This is an opt-out program where basically we use renewable energy credits through MC squared to track the source of green sources of energy coming to village accounts. Anyone can be enrolled in it automatically unless they choose to opt out. There's no change to their billing cycle, their billing rate. It's all still billed through ComEd. So I do get a lot of questions when those mailers go out. Anything from MC Squared, that's one of the companies we use, has approved by the village and has no change on individuals' rates.
Seth, just a quick question. Do you expect another marketing push to go out soon, or what's the one increase of the numbers? Like, how do you expect?
Yeah, we will continue to sort of promote it on social media and those sorts of things. I believe once there is the problem we've had is that when we did the initial marketing push, there was a long wait.
Yeah.
And so it takes some time for capacity to come online. Once there are these new solar installations online, then we can sort of get a new marketing push. One of our sustainability commissioners signed up, and it took him 6 months from sign up to be added to the program. So
it'd be 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took long.
So, and that's hence the drop off of people who've signed up and those who've fully enrolled into it, as you get an email 6 months later and you had forgotten about it.
I think part of the value of the anchor accounts, or why NextAmp and Satori seek out the anchor accounts, is to try and help build that capacity so there's more solar arrays to service the demand for participating in that program.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and I would just like to say that NextAmp would love to work with the village on getting the word out to the residents. I would say in comments.
Could you speak up, please? We can't really hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
No.
Your mic might be covered.
Yeah, I don't know why my audio is not working.
I think he was saying that NextAmp would partner with the village to try and promote participation.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of our residents through the existing program have been referred to NextAmp by MC squared simply because NextAmp had capacity.
Right.
So.
Well, we can keep pushing it. I mean,
yep.
Reminders constantly.
Do we have the set of residents? Do we know the residents who are partaking in the program?
I do not know offhand. I don't know if that would be, if we could get that or not. I can look into it, though.
It'd be interesting for us to maybe send from the village an email that says, like, you may be on a long list. Look for this email, you know, with this email address. 4 to 6 months.
Yeah. Probably know the number of just not who they are.
Right? Yeah, we do have the numbers of those who've been sent offers and those who've enrolled, and even broken down between MC squared and NextAmp for those. So
makes total sense. Everyone sign up. Yeah, it's good. It's good stuff. I love it. All right. Any further questions for the team? Okay. Hearing none, then I'd ask the clerk to take the vote on this, please.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Great. Okay. Also, next on, it's no action needed here. So, Seth, you can stay there. I mean, Seth, myself, Lisa, Matt, Susan Charette, and I think that was it. That was on this presentation. And it was a great presentation. And so I asked Seth if he could give you just a brief overview of what this presentation was. We are bringing it to the Sustainability Commission for their review and their vote, and then coming back to our board. But I just was overwhelmed with this. You know, it was a great presentation. So I thought this is a great thing to.
Yeah. So this actually came about through an unrelated program. Cook County was using ARPA funds to help some communities develop climate action plans. I had applied for the village to be one. We were ultimately not one of the communities selected. But fast forward to last November, Cook County sent out an email copying UIC promoting this program through their graduate program in urban planning and policy. And they were looking for participants for the spring semester for communities, which the graduate students would be developing a climate action plan for. So I had indicated interest. I touched base with the professors. Professor Kawamura actually zoomed into our December Sustainability Commission meeting. Matt and I had met with him. We provided some the various data, the village's comprehensive plan, the greenhouse gas inventory that the Sustainability Commission had performed, a number of other items. And then the class began in January. Matt and I had actually attended the second week of class, again, virtually. Trustee Gillis was on at the midterm presentation. We had several of the students, the two student sections, come out to do a field trip around the village at the end of January and then meet back here and get to ask Susan Charette, Trustee Gillis, myself, and Matt several questions to get our input. And then even throughout the semester, as late as, you know, early April, I was zooming into the evening courses with the student sections to give them additional feedback. And then it culminated in these two climate action plans that were developed by two separate student sections this couple of weeks ago on April 30th. So if you want to, so yeah, there's the timeline of our participation and the steps we had done to meet with the students, provide our input, and go to the next. So there's two separate plans. Each had three or four target or opportunity areas. Within those, they had anywhere from 2 to 5 goals or actions. And then with those, anywhere from 1 to 6 strategies to implement to achieve those goals or actions. So plan one, one of the opportunities areas was buildings and energy. They had several strategies around weatherization, several on electrification, on-site energy generation, as well as energy usage optimization. So, and I should note one additional thing. This is focused both on ways the village can reduce our carbon emissions and our energy consumption, but also build our resiliency and prepare for a changing climate.
Just for clarification, is this related to village properties or just all properties?
The community as a whole, the village as a whole. So yeah, there are various, so you can see in the transportation one for EV charging, they proposed a bunch of different strategies, both for public charging strategies at village owned facilities or businesses, as well as, you know, home chargers and things like that to promote the usage of electric vehicles. They had a lot of ideas around alternative forms of transportation. You see several bicycle strategies proposed there, as well as a complete streets concept they had put forward. We can go to the next strategy. And then this first plan also focused heavily on resilience, on tree protection, soil health, stormwater management, building biodiversity, and then continuing to collect climate data and its impacts on the village. And then I would note both of these groups really heavily focused on community engagement, ways to provide information to the residents, which is something the Sustainability Commission does through newsletters, social media posts. So there's a lot of actions we can take from both of these to for the Sustainability Commission to use in that capacity that they already have. And then there was a second
Seth,
plan.
Yep. Well, one thing, the plans themselves were over 100 pages, and there's kind of a implementation matrix that they recommend, and there's different levels of involvement or cost for the village to consider. The public education was a big piece of it because it's a lower cost way for the village to kind of help along the residents or business owners to achieve some of those more individual cases. Like the weatherization, there was a lot of focus in that first group about improving the efficiency of the larger homes in town, and whether the village could help incentivize some of those projects, or it's just more education during the building and permitting stage, or just through our normal communication channels to make the other more efficient options more known to residents and contractors in town.
Yeah. So for example, in the second group, one of the three areas was natural environment, the grow and manage the tree canopy. Those four proposed strategies they offered ranged from updating the trees page of our website to provide more information to residents, all the way up to a heritage tree ordinance to help protect some of the older growth trees throughout the community. So it was a very wide range of things, levels of village action and potential costs. So there's a lot of things to be looked over, to take into consideration. And again, the Sustainability Commission will do an initial sort of review tomorrow night here at their meeting, and then take a deeper dive into it next month as well.
What's considered a heritage growth tree?
I honestly have been skimming through and did not get too far into the details on that one. I just know that was just off the top of my mind, one of the strategies for the tree canopy portion.
I'm not sure exactly what the threshold is, but typically it's based on the diameter of the tree trunk.
Based on the diameter.
Exactly.
Which would correlate to the age, but we don't have a sense of what the age would be.
I don't know if we have it now, but other communities, it's illegal to cut down trees that are over 150 years old or 100 years or whatever it might be. They establish a time.
Okay.
But yeah, here's some of the strategies outlined. They also had a lot of focus on biodiversity, native vegetation. So beneath the tree canopy, having additional building out the natural environment. These are urban planning professionals in graduate school. So a lot of focus on transit, public transportation, multimodal transportation. So they offer a number of strategies there as well. And then we can go to the last page. And then again, resilience and resource management, ways to convert to renewable energy, to improve efficiency, to divert waste, mitigate against flooding and stormwater. And then we had shared that building out electric vehicle capacity is a big goal of the village. So they both student groups offered specific action plans with that regard as well. Then we can go to the last slide. So next steps, Sustainability Commission, again, we'll discuss this next meeting. Any input you all have, I believe Matt has sent you all the Dropbox containing the full plans. So obviously feel free to provide any input. Sustainability Commission will be discussing further next month and go and have more time to do a deeper dive into some of the issues and bring forward some of the proposals. And then, we can provide further updates to the board one of the meetings this summer.
Seth, how do you envision this village taking these suggestions and putting them into action?
I think it depends on the suggestion. I think there were some things that were pretty pie in the sky ideas. I mean, I think one group had even suggested like a revenue neutral carbon tax, which is both not something we can legally do, but probably unfeasible to implement. But there's things like providing that information for residents to, give them more information on what tax credits are available for heat pumps and for induction ovens and things that can sort of reduce their energy and improve their efficiency of their energy consumption, as well as the things like the, elaborating on further information for trees on private properties so they can make their own decisions and help sort of grow the private side of the village tree canopy. So I think there's a lot of things on that end of providing the information, getting it out there, that we can take steps fairly quickly on. I think there's probably some things in here that are worth discussing, looking further into, and may come out of the Sustainability Commission as a recommendation for you all to take up. And then as we get further along, I think some of the things, again, there are some very ambitious changes in here that I just don't know are feasible or easy to implement in a short timeline, in multi-year transportation revamps, things like that.
Yeah. So.
But maybe that's an interesting point, though, that Katie brings up. I mean, maybe there could be categories of, where things that are low-hanging fruit, as we talked about, things that could be a little bit harder but possible, and then take that into an action. So there's really some progress.
Yeah, and I will say that both these student sections really did a great job of breaking out in terms of the sort of time it would take to implement, the potential cost to implement, and then the impact on greenhouse gas emissions or building resiliency or anything like that. So they developed some pretty good metrics to sort of rate and measure these various action items by. And I believe one of the two plans even has a matrix towards the back of the plan to help sort of like break out as a chart to see how they're rated on those different items.
Yeah. I haven't studied this. It looks, it's very attractive. But I think to me, the challenge is doing something with it, not just having it. We've had agreements and we've been a member of the, you know, Greenest Region Compact 1-2 over the years, the climate action charter we signed, you know, years ago. We, in 2021, we did a climate action plan. I don't know how this differs from that. We did a greenhouse gas inventory in 2021. I just don't see what we're doing with these things and how this differs from what we already have. I think our challenge is actually turning it from a presentation and a suggestion to actual action. And I haven't studied this 100-page document to know how it differs from all of the other compacts and charters and plans that we've already done.
Hey, Katie, I don't think that we actually have a sustainability plan. A sustainability plan is different from climate action, and I think the goal of the Sustainability Commission is to truly build a climate action plan, which would basically focus us on what are our key, what are the key areas of opportunity. And I think they want to use this to guide. So I think we have to give the Sustainability Commission time to understand all the different pieces and parts to then say, how do we take what we currently are doing to the next level?
I do want to see what the Sustainability Commission has to say with it. But in 2021, we adopted a climate action plan for River Forest.
That's the issue. I mean, everyone's kind of, the bottom line is, I think we've done quite a bit in the area of transportation and solar. I mean, we've done quite a bit in, you know, the electrification of, you know, with EV charging. We could do more with the bike lanes. We have done quite a bit. Now, could we do more? I think we can. I think you're right. There's a sustainability plan that needs to really move more into a real climate action plan. I know we kind of said we had one, but I know you also said, well, it's really not a plan.
And well, it was called the Climate Action Plan that we passed in 2021.
I guess the question was, why wasn't it really a plan?
What have we done with it? That's my concern. This is very pretty. It's all looks good. It seems like a nice partnership. I challenge the Sustainability Commission and I challenge us to actually do something with it and, you know, turn it from a plan or a recommendation into action in the village.
And I would say that is the intention.
Thank you.
To a real plan. We have a lot of things that we're doing. This is going to hopefully put it together. All right, super. Any other questions that you would for Seth?
Yeah, as we were going through this and talking about public transportation, I'm curious about, if you know, Seth, how much funding we have gotten recently around public transportation. Are we getting any more in the near future around that?
So that's a little complicated, and some of the things that were proposed, some of these specific strategies are partnering with these sort of regional transportation authorities, whether it's Metro or PACE. I think one of the things that even suggested sort of helping build out sheltered PACE stops to improve PACE ridership along our major thoroughfares. So I'm not sure how much the village has been directly involved, but there's, again, always these opportunities to increase these partnerships with these public transportation agencies.
Okay, so we are not seeking funding as of right now for those kinds of things within the village, is like for shelters or for additional funds around public transportation.
I would say not specifically, but I do know that, for example, the North Avenue Streetscape project that we're partnering with Elmwood Park on, part of that is related to PACE looking to upgrade their routes and stops along North Avenue. Mm-hmm. And part of that is making sure that there's paved space where there's stops to help with accessibility and just kind of placemaking for people to know that there's a station there. So that's been incorporated into that plan, but specific to the village upgrading stations, we haven't taken the lead on that. I think we'd be happy to provide support for PACE or CTA mm-hmm. to to help make that, or Metra to help make that, but not specifically village-wide to this point.
Okay. So North Avenue, we've got some funds coming in to do some work there, but other than that, not yet.
Correct. Not that I can think of at this time.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay, great. Thanks. Appreciate it. By the way, the North Avenue is a pretty significant piece that's coming from Camille Lilly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're real happy about that. We need to get it released, though. Small detail. All right, super. Well, that's ends our regular business. So we'll go into executive session. If I can get a motion to go into executive session in a second.
I move to enter. Oh, move to enter into executive session pursuant to 5 ILCS 120/2C6 to discuss the setting of a price for sale or lease of property owned by the public body, and the village board will adjourn after executive session and will not return to open session.
Second. Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachman.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
President Adusi.